This morning is a morning of blessings. It's a morning of blessings. You know, because we are ministers of the presence, and most times we talk about the Lordship of Jesus and alignment, people assume that God only comes to us as a judge, trying to always restore us back to a perfect walk with Him, and is not concerned about the good life. That is not true. One of the names of God is the name El Shaddai. And the name El Shaddai means the multi-breasted one. One of the things God loves to do, one of the things that makes God happy, is to continually bless from His bounties. The reason is because, one, He is a being of love. And every time love is in expression, love is in action, the easiest way to showcase love is by giving. So God cannot help Himself but to give. If God decides today that He will not bless you, the next thing God will be doing will be blessing. So if God says, I don't want to bless you again, and He wants to do another thing, if He routs Himself, that other thing that God will be doing will still be blessing. And then if He gets tired with that one and say, okay, I won't bless you again, you have been overblessed, and I want to do something else in your life, the something else that God wants to do will still be a blessing, because His nature can't help Him. It is consistent with His nature to always bless. You know, if I jack up in the spirit, I plug into the realm of inspiration, because wisdom is a realm. If you enter into the fountain of wisdom, what God does is that He begins to open Himself in different layers, and at some point you will look at Him and you will see light. When you look at light from the realm of God, everything you begin to talk begin to mystify darkness, because the dimension you entered at that time is called light, and light is that which makes manifest. Another time you will enter into God, and what you will touch will be power, and then you will be talking, demons will be leaving, you will be talking, people will be healed. Not because you say devil go, you are talking from the womb of power. Another time you will enter into God, and what you will enter into will be wisdom. And then as you are talking, it looks as if you are defining the life of people. People will be hearing what you are saying. It's as if you are talking the story of their life. Not because you consulted with them, you entered into a dimension in God. So that's how inspirational speakers minister. You know, when God was training me at the backside of the desert, sometimes when I fast, usually my stomach at that time wakes up by 3 p.m. There are people that their stomach wake up before they wake up. So the moment they wake up, they are going to the kitchen. Some of them, is their stomach that wake them up. But I fasted for a long time. So my stomach naturally woke up by 3 p.m. Now it has recalibrated to 1. It woke up by 3 p.m. And when I want to eat, God will forbid me. So I had to learn a lot of things to withstand hunger. So I start praying loud. If I pray for a long time, after 30 minutes, 40 minutes, my body will shut down the hunger. And if I'm able to shut down hunger, as it's getting to 4, 5 p.m., I begin to hear sound. Sounds begin to come to me, sound. So God began to wire my DNA in the spirit with sound. So when I'm ministering and I hear the right sound, I can easily transport into the realm of God. So in the beginning, before time was, before the heavens were created, only God existed. The first question it suggests is, where was God? So there are dimensions of God that can never be comprehended by creation. Before He created the heavens and the earth, He was. He said, I am the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Now, where was He before creation began? It is not something you can think about, so don't bother. Try to imagine it for a second. But God was in Himself.
The Bible said God is light, and in him is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And he said God dwells in light and immortality is with him. That means God dwells in himself. You know, God comes into heaven not because he lives there, but because he needs to be interacted with by the angelic being. So a dimension of his royalty is what enters heaven. You know, when we say the face of God, we are not talking about face. When we say the hand of God, we are not talking about hand. The face of God is actually the dimension of God's holiness. That's the glory of God. And it is the face of God that transforms. So when we talk about the face of God, we are talking about the glory of God. When we talk about the hand of God, we are not talking about hand. We are talking about the power of God. The hand of God is his power. So God is a multidimensional reality. So when we talk about the throne of God, we are actually talking about a dimension of his glory that captures his royalty. It is that dimension of God's glory that is in heaven. But the totality of God can't be trapped in heaven. Heaven is too small. Meanwhile, the Bible said the earth is God's footstool. It didn't say his feet, his footstool. And when we talk about the foot of God, we are talking about his dominion. That's why God is Lord over all things. Are we together? But before the beginning began, the Bible said Elohim dwelt in himself. And what was happening between Elohim was koinonia. Because love motivates koinonia. It was a depth of intimacy that could not be fabricated by any cognitive attempt. So what was happening was that the Father was communing with the Spirit. The Spirit was communing with the Father. And there was a cycle of love that existed. And the intensity of that communion emanated from God. And God said, "Let us make man." So the word "let us make man" was not a cognitive utterance. "Let us make man" was actually an effulgence of the powers of communion. When the energy and the vibration and the reverberation that took place between Abba, Ruach and Logos became too intense, God could no longer contain himself. And he said, "Let us make man." That word, "let us make man," is a testimony of love that is born out of communion. This is why it is impossible for God not to love man. Because man was born out of the crucible and the intercourse that existed between Abba, Ruach and Logos. "Let us make man" was something that took place beyond time. Because God dwells outside of time. So we don't know how long that intercourse took place. You see why the love of God for man is beyond generation. He said, "My goodness is from generation to generation." The judgment of God is in four generations, but his goodness is for generations to generation. You can't count them because that goodness emanated from the love that transcended time. So one thing God will always do is to love you. And when God chooses to love you, then you become a candidate of God's goodness. And the blessedness of God flows in your direction naturally. You know, when we began, I started talking about matters of alignment. And many people can't resonate with it. But at least the younger generations, they caught it. You know, sometimes these messages are too brutal. But we have to say it. The reason we have to say it now is because the corruption on the earth is massive. So if you are not brutal with it, people will take it for granted. That's why sometimes it comes very forceful. It's to create urgency in the heart of the listeners. But God does not only judge. God also loves and blesses. If you look at the scriptures, the Bible said something. In James 1:17, I want them to project the scripture so you see it. Because you have to be assured of the love of God for yourself. You see that? You have to be assured. He said, "Every good gift." Every, not some. You know, sometimes something happens to you, you say, I get luck. There's nothing like luck in this world. If you know the manipulation that took place before that thing got to you, all you will do is to say, thank you, Father. That's why Paul said to abound in thanksgiving. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And just in case you make a mistake to think above is here, that's not what he's saying. Above is not here. You know why? As you are lifting your hand now, it's above because you are facing the sun. In the night, when the earth turns, and you say above, your hand is actually facing down. So, your above will be down. So in case you are mistaken above to be up, is that they come down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The word variableness means he will not change his mind at any time. So nothing you do that will make God change his mind from blessing you. This is where our confidence comes from. That God's blessing me is not conditioned on what I do. Because when he died for me, I was not worthy. That God's blessing me is predicated upon his nature and his exclusive intercourse that made for my betting in the first place. So every time I want to receive from God, I come with boldness. Imagine, sir, if your child comes to you in the morning and says, Daddy, please, please, Daddy, can I have breakfast? You will rush to your child and say, are you okay? Is something wrong? But that's how most of us come to God. Father, please, if you will, please heal me. God is asking, are you alright? Meanwhile, you are a man. And God said, as wicked as our earthly father is, will we ask him for bread and he'll give us stone? Now, God is trying to compare that the best of fathers compared to God is wicked. So when your father pays your school fees, compared to the love of God, that good act is wickedness. Because you can't match it. There is no scale that can bring comparison to the good your father does to you and that which God has done and is willing to do. Meanwhile, when you come to your father, you come boldly. Daddy, I need school fees. And when you come to God, you are shaking and you are not even sure whether God will. That's religion. That's what religion did to us. He said, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. As if that is not enough. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, God went further to tell us, he is not even blessing you because you asked. He said, before you asked, it was his thought. He was delighted when he thought about you. You are the one who saw yourself trekking and you think you needed a car. That you think you need a car was God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And before God even walked that thought into you, his heart was full of you having a car already. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. King James calls it an expected end. So, as you are now, before you came to church, the heart of the Father was full of you. A dear lady sang a song, Sister Noella. He said, you will not suffer my feet to be moved. I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I? Don't sing it fast. He said, who am I that your mind is so full of me? God's mind is saturated with you right now. As in, if not because he's God, he would have been distracted because of the way he's thinking of you. Have you seen a young man who is in love? He's walking alone on the street and he's smiling. He's in a room because the lady sent him a text and said, I love you. He will read that message 100 times. Not because he has not seen that word. You know, he has seen the word, I love you, before. But there is something about this one. The reason is because his mind is full of the lady. So he's not seeing I love you. Sometimes he's seeing the lady hugging him. Sometimes he's seeing himself with the lady in the garden. So that I love you becomes a portal. as he looks at it, he sees himself with her in the garden. As he looks at it, he sees himself with her on the altar. So he said, your mind is so full of me. So sometimes God looks at you and then he sees you displaying power. Sometimes God looks at you and he sees you walking on gold. Sometimes. I am deliberately casting this thought on you. See, sometimes when God sees you, he sees you walking on gold. Sometimes he sees you in the company of mighty men and you are dictating what should happen. Meanwhile, you come, you are looking at your circumstance. You say, when will this thing happen? Well, he said, don't be troubled. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why are you thanking before you receive? Because you are persuaded. Lord, I'm not married. Lord, I want to be married. Meanwhile, God is seeing you with 3 children in your husband's house. And you people were not even in Nigeria. You were in Canada. And you are in a movie. You want to kill yourself. Oh, Lord. If you know these things, every time you think, you release power. In Ephesians 4:20, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Your thought is equal to your talking. So men who have the right understanding, even when they are talking, they are emitting power. And then there are some people that think, okay, everything God gives us is for his kingdom. So we are not supposed to live the good life. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world not to be mindful of uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. See what interests me? He said, who giveth unto every man richly. That's the first thing. Richly, what it means is that he is giving you all things, and what he's giving you is not based on your realm. It's not based on what you qualify for. He's giving you based on his own realm and who he is. You may qualify for 1,000, but the last time God checked, he has never given anybody 1,000. The least God give is 10 million. So even though you were qualified for 1,000, God won't give you 1,000. He will give you from his own capacity, which is 10 million. It's just like you go to the house of a man that has gold, and then you are looking for silver. He will say, sorry, I don't have silver, but can you manage gold? So what he says you manage is greater than what you qualify for. And the second thing he said, he giveth to every man richly for what? That he may enjoy. So God is mindful of your enjoyment. That time you were relaxing in an air-conditioned apartment, God was happy. He was more happy than you. That time you got your Jeep and you were driving in it and you were excited, God was more excited. Because he loves it to see you enjoy. So the message we preach is not necessarily a message of making people go backward. No. It's only a dimension of the kingdom where we put God ahead of us. Because when we see that he loves us so much, we are willing to give everything for him. Tell yourself, today is the last day I will be frustrated. The problem with believers is not that they doubt the ability of God. They know. The guy who is sick knows the ability of God. The guy who is hungry knows the ability of God. But he has a problem. The problem is that he doesn't know how to receive. So the way he thinks he has to receive is not the way God says he should receive. Because the problem with the spirit, not a problem, the way of spirit is that they have definite order for and protocol for executing their will. If a spirit wants to do something, he has an order of carrying it out. For example, in John chapter 4, from verse 23 to 24, Jesus said, the Father is looking for true worshippers. That means God is desperate to find worshippers. But that God is desperate to find worshippers does not mean anything you do is accepted. He said, but even though God is desperate for worshippers, the only worship God receives is a worship that is in spirit and in truth. So there could be 1 million worshippers. If they don't worship in spirit and in truth, even though God is desperate, it doesn't mean he will lower his standard to accept them. That's the thing with the spirit. He has an order that governs the way he does things. You see, what does it mean to worship in spirit? To worship in spirit means to worship by the enablement and the agency of the Holy Ghost. I can be worshiping now, and all I am releasing is from my charisma. And the Holy Ghost, the hand of God is not on it. Now, there's nothing wrong in taking advantage of your talent and charisma. But if the hand of God is not on it, but your flesh powers it, it will not be a worship before God. What does it mean to worship in truth? It means to worship according to the word of God. That's how spirits operate. They have definite order. So the believer believes in the power of God. The believer believes God wants to help him. God wants to bless him. But he doesn't know how to receive. So he's not necessarily blessed. When you tell him about how powerful God is, he knows that already. He's not necessarily blessed. When you tell him God wants to bless him, he knows that already. What will profit him is to teach him the how. How can he enter so that he doesn't labor like the foolish? He said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Not some, every one of them, because they know not how to enter the city. In receiving the blessings of God, the first thing you must realize is that the blessings of God are spiritual. So God doesn't know how to give a car. God doesn't know how to give money. God doesn't know how to give natural things. God, everything he gives is spiritual. So what the believer needs to do is to learn how to convert the spiritual to the natural. In this auditorium this morning, there is only one power in the natural that powers everything here. It's called electric power. But what this microphone knows how to do is to convert electric power to sound power. If this microphone loses the ability of converting electricity to sound, even though there is more than enough electricity, this microphone will be frustrated. If this bulb loses the capacity to convert electricity to light, even though there is enough electricity, this bulb will be out of work. You see that? The TV set, if it loses the capacity to convert the electricity, which is current, into what you are seeing here, it will become useless. So the problem of the believer is not an unbelief of whether God has power, but it is inability to take that which God is giving. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said, giving thanks to the Father, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But see the problem, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the blessings you can think of, blessed with, but in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How will he download it? That's what I want to share with you this morning. It's called functional knowledge. You know, when we went for undergraduate studies, we studied and read books, read theories, read laws, read principles, graduated. At a point, I became bored. Because even the atom, I never saw it until I graduated. Meanwhile, I graduated with a 4 point. But I didn't, if you say what is an atom, I will define, but I never knew it. So, there is a knowledge you can have, you can be certified, but it will not be functional. So you will know so much, it won't profit you. Have you been there? You can read it, you can preach it, but you will never experience it. Because you know so much about it, yet it doesn't profit you. That's a crisis of the believer. I was with my friend Evangelist Lawrence. When he made that phrase, I knelt down and said, God, help me. You can read it, you can preach it, but you don't know it. So you can preach it and yet never see it. The reason is because you know about it, but you don't know how to convert spiritual resource to natural resource. The first way to convert what I'm teaching you this morning is not something that will provoke an impartation. It's something I want you to learn and practice. The power is in the practice. That's why I'm breaking it down in the most simplistic form. Most simplistic. The first way to receive what God has made available is by your ability to touch it. And I'll show you what I mean. A spiritual thing will not bless you until you touch it. The way to receive from a spirit is not to talk about that spirit. The way to receive from a spirit is by making contact with that spirit. Jesus was walking. And in Luke chapter 8, that's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. I'll visit it again. And people were pushing him, but they were not touching him. People were thronging him, they were not touching him. But a woman came from behind and made a faint contact with him. And Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples at this time, who were not yet spiritually literate, were shocked. Did you mean who pushed you? Because if you say who pushed you, you understand. Did you mean who slapped you? Because there are many people thronging you. But when you say who touched me, I'm trying to understand what you mean. Who touched you? How? Everybody is touching you. And Jesus said, "No, I sense virtue. Leave me." The proof that you have touched a spirit is that you draw an energy from that spirit. You can come to church and be crying and say, "God, heal me." You will go back not healed because you have not been able to draw. You can come to a place and make bold declaration, nothing will happen. The mountains don't move because you decreed. You know, we have listened to people and we make decrees the same way they make decrees, but our results are different. The reason, that's why I told you when I started sharing, where you are talking from is what determines your authority, not necessarily what you are saying. That's why I say we are seated with him in heavenly places. So you can be talking from earth, somebody else is talking from Zion. The results will be worlds apart. When you touch a spirit, you draw an energy. That energy you draw from that spirit is what converts the spiritual thing to a natural thing. If you can't draw that energy, the spiritual thing will remain spiritual. Can I surprise you this morning? Every one of us here is completely healed and perfected. But there are some of us that have symptoms of healing. There is healing and well-being in your spirit. But you can have symptoms of sickness in your body. And you are crying to God. And God is telling you, you only need to convert it. And I will show you all of this from scriptures. Reverend Chris Akilome was ministering. And then he came to a woman that had a very large growth, a cancerous growth. And then when he was coming to minister to the woman, he now looked at the woman and God showed him the form of the woman in the spirit. And the woman had no growth. And he stepped back quickly. "What's happening here?" And God said, "Because of Jesus' stripes, the woman was healed. The woman had already been healed because of Jesus' stripes. This thing on her body is a mirage. The only problem is that the woman doesn't know how to make what is her spiritual reality to become her natural reality. So what Reverend Priest was coming to do by the anointing was to superimpose the spiritual dimension over the natural. It's not as if that was when God was healing her. God has already finished his job. It is the job of the man to do the conversion. That's why if a man fails to... If you think God is the one who comes to the meeting to heal some and leave some, what then is the rationale? Is it that God loves the one he heals and hates the one he doesn't heal? Is it that God is biased in his administration? No. The difference is who touched him. The person who touches him is the one that converts what's already available to what is going to be usable. And the first way to touch a spirit is by faith. It's not by an act necessarily. It's by faith. And I'll show you what I mean. The journey of faith begins with understanding. What you don't understand, you can never have. The journey of faith begins with understanding. The Bible said something in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. See where a lot of people miss this. I was so tremendously blessed last week. My brother was sharing from here. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 said, God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. So the without faith is talking about is not an absence of faith. The faith is already there. But most times the problem is the lack of understanding. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Two things. The person came to God because the person knew God had the power to heal. Why is the person not healed? There is a lack of an understanding. He doesn't know that God is. The word is, it doesn't mean God exists. No. Every one of us know God exists. The word is means two things. And I will show you. The first thing that word means is that God is present in the matter now. Because you can believe that God exists, but you can think that God is not with you. For whatever reason you call or you point at, a man said, the reason you think you are not healed is the reason you are not healed. You can believe that God is in this building, but you may assume that because you didn't pray yesterday, God will not ease. You can believe that because you didn't fast, God is not ease. You can believe that because you did something wrong yesterday, God is not ease. So the moment you bring that thought into the equation, what it does is that it separates you from God. So God exists, but you can't touch him. Everybody who comes to God must believe that he is. That means the reason he is able to come in the first place has nothing to do with whatever he did. He came because God was the one that threw him. So when a man comes to the Lord, the first understanding he needs to have is that he didn't come because he qualified. He came because he was brought. And when he has that understanding, he bridges the gap between him and God. So the first thing God is a revelation is that God is in you and with you forever. There is nothing you did that qualified you to come there. Neither will you do anything that disapproves of you from there. He came because of himself, not because of you. God is. And the second thing about God is that God answers now. Is means eternal now. If you receive your healing tomorrow, in the realm of God, God didn't heal you tomorrow. Everything God is doing is now. In his realm, everything is now. So until a man makes his own now, God's now, he can't touch God. So the first understanding of faith is when you come, know that God won't heal you when you are going. Know that God is healing you now. Know that God is blessing you now. Know that God is doing everything he can do now. The moment you shift tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. Because tomorrow will always be tomorrow. You called today, tomorrow yesterday. Now you have come to today, tomorrow have moved forward. So what you do is that you keep shifting your blessings away from yourself because you don't know that God is. So the person that shifted the blessing away was not God, it was you. It looks very simple, but they are the hardest things to believe. Jesus came to the house of Lazarus in John chapter 11. They told him that your friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus never moved. He was doing his thing. And after a few days, Lazarus died. And then they told him that his friend is dead. And then he said, Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples said, if Lazarus is asleep, Lazarus will wake up now. Do we need to travel all the way to go and wake a man who is sleeping? And when Jesus saw their ignorance, he said, Lazarus is dead. And Thomas entered his office, the doubter, and he said, let's go and die with him. You know, when you see those men doing exploits, you think there is something special about them. No, they came into understanding. The Bible said Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Spirit. And he said their eyes were open and they understood the scripture. The same Thomas that was doubting Jesus, if you read the Chronicles of Thomas, we were told that Thomas went to India and he entered the city to preach. And in that city, they worship water. So when they want to worship the water, they throw the water up and they bow. The way Thomas began his evangelism is that he went to the river and he commanded the whole river to go up. And the river went up and was suspended. That was how Thomas began evangelism. The man who was a chronic doubter now became an extraordinary sign and wonder worker. What was the difference? He entered into an understanding. The day you know that God is urgent upon addressing your matter, and your matter will not be addressed tomorrow, you will take it. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. If he goes beyond a moment, then God isn't. God is means God is here now, and God will not do it tomorrow. God will do it now. The question is, why will God do tomorrow what he wants to do now? The leper came to him, say, if you are willing, you will make me whole. Matthew 8 verse 3. And he said, I am willing. And he stretched his hand and touched him, and he was healed. That's what it means to believe that God is. So the first journey of faith is understanding. The second thing about it is a diligent commitment. When you believe, it will show in your action. He said, thou believest that there is only one God, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. He said, but O vain man, faith without works is dead. There are many people who say they believe, they don't. If you believe, your action will show. If I ask you now, are the angels of God here? You will say yes. Because that's a religious way to answer and look spiritual. But if you know that an angel is here, it will affect your action. Imagine if you turn for a second and you saw an angel standing by you. You will not be relaxed where you are sitting.
it will affect your posture immediately. Because now you believe.
Spiritual things are simple, but they are hard to understand when you bring religion into the equation. He said, when you now know that God is, then the second thing is what? To diligently, persuadedly, uncompromisingly seek Him. So the proof that a man have understood that God is the diligence he puts into touching God. Most times, we are not deliberate. We only say what they say because we are told to say it, that somebody has said it and he got an answer. Let me show you from scripture somebody that believed that God is. Luke chapter 8, verse 44 to 47. See the story of an illiterate woman. Sometimes the reason we can't receive from God is that we know so much. He said, you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. So you came to receive from God, you carry out a whole ritual. And what you don't know is that you have moved your faith from God into the ritual. So instead of you focusing on God to receive, you are checking whether you carry out the rituals correctly. And then, when you focus, you channel all your energy on the ritual, and the ritual is powerless. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians. So this woman has a diligent nature. At first, she believed in doctors. So she didn't hold anything back. She spent everything she had. That's a woman of faith. Her action was always an action that perpetuated diligence. She spent everything on physician, but she could not be healed. So she realized that the way of the physician doesn't work. And then she went further to verse 44. Okay, go back to 43, sorry. Now, if you read this scripture from other of the synoptic gospels, you'll hear that the Bible said, she said to herself. You know what she was doing? She was persuading herself. She didn't come casually, hoping that something will happen. The way we come to God is that we hope that maybe something will happen. Maybe something will not happen. The woman didn't rush. She took time, heard the stories of Jesus, and then she sat down and persuaded herself. Tonight, we say it's a healing meeting. Many people will go and do everything they are doing. When it's 5 minutes to the meeting, they will rush and spring into the hall and hope that God will touch them. God doesn't touch people by chance. The woman persuaded herself, and a point came, she was so persuaded, and she said, I don't need him to pray for me. I don't need him to lay hands on me. I don't even need to hug him like every other person. If I as much as touch a hem, that means the lowest portion of his garment. If you have not gotten there, you can't receive from God. All these things she was telling herself, God was hearing. He said, if I touch a helm, he said, he didn't say I will be healed. She said, I will be made whole. If you heal a leprous man, the leprosy will go, but the hand that has been eaten will remain eaten. When a leprous man is made whole, the leprosy doesn't just go, the hand grows out. It's the working of miracles. He said, I will be made whole. That means everything I lost and suffered because her self-esteem had been destroyed. People now know her as the woman with the issue of blood. So she can't come to society like every other person. People now know her as a frustrated person. So
it was not just the issue of blood. Psychologically, she has been damaged. Self-confidence gone. She can't do what the normal person does anymore. She said, if I touch him, the blood will not only stop, my self-esteem, my identity that have been stolen from me, all of that will be restored. How can that be done in a moment? It's because she knows that God is. For men, it takes time. But God works from a realm that is not affected by time. And the Bible said in verse 44 that she came from behind in the press and touched him. And instantly, the flow of blood ceased. You don't know the effort she put in. Because one, when men are pressing, a woman doesn't have the ability to come through. It is, when you are talking about physical issues, it is difficult for a woman to even stand a chance with men. And then to talk of a woman that was sick for 12 years, where did the strength come from? There was a persuasion in her spirit. What that persuasion did was that she came to a point where she could no longer see anything stopping her healing. So when she came, for instance, because she had the issue of blood, she was ceremonially unclean. And anybody she touches will become unclean. And it was a big crime in the Israel of those days. So she was taking a risk coming. She didn't have the ability to come. Yet, there was a persuasion that made it difficult for her to see any barrier. You have a contract, and then you casually submitted your contract, and then you went asking men of God to make declaration. You are joking. There is something you need to have. It's an understanding that even if there are 100 people, for me, God is. I don't know what is for those people, but for me, God is. I heard a story by Apostle Joshua Selman. He said, if there are 10 people and they say they are looking for 2, he begins to pray for the remaining 9. When you hear a spiritual man talk, you will think he's proud. He's not boasting for himself. There is something he knows. That's why the journey of faith begins with understanding. How can you be praying for the remaining 9? That means I am already 1. And just in case they reduce it to 1, I'll be sorry for the remaining 9. It's not something, you are not trying to motivate yourself. This is not bold talk. This is the root. I believe that for me, God is. That's what he meant when he said, he is the present help in the time of need. There is a help that can be absent. You can be needing money. And your brother is a millionaire, but is in the U.S. And you call, the number doesn't go through. That is the help, but that help is absent. You can be needing school fees. Exam is tomorrow. Somebody is willing to give you school fees, but is absent. They can even send the school fees, but they sent it through MoneyGram. Your exam is on Monday, but the money will arrive on Wednesday. It's a help, but is absent. On Wednesday, you will have more than enough, but the exam has gone. God is. When we say God is, it means God is now. If it moves till tomorrow, you were the one that moved it, not God. It's an understanding of faith. And the way to get there is to believe something. That's the last thing the Bible said, that God is a rewarder. If you don't believe that God is a rewarder, you will not diligently seek. If you know that if I stand up, God will heal me, you will stand up. Because you know that God is the rewarder. Every time procrastination comes in, it's a sign that we lack an understanding. It said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, He said, as thou knowest not how that the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child. That is how you do not know the work of the Spirit. So how it will happen is not part of your part of discussion. God didn't ask you to trouble yourself thinking, how will it happen? There are 50 of us. How will it be me? That's not your part. That's God's part. This thing have lasted for 20 years. How can it happen all of a sudden? It is God that is allocated that portion. How it will happen is God's department. What will happen is your own department. And your idea, your job is to what? Know that it will happen now. I don't know how, but it will happen now all the same. It looks very simple, but this is why many people are in bondage. They can't believe it. So the first way to enter into the God of now is by diligently seeking. Let me show you another scripture. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. See what the Bible says. You know, the Bible said something in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It said, the things that were written aforetime, they are not stories. It said they were written for our learning, so that we, having learned through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. So they didn't write the Old Testament, so you will hear stories. They are written for our learning, so that they will become the source of comfort for us, and by it we will have hope. So when you see what these guys did and you do it the way they did it, you will inevitably have what they have. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, you see another person that the public has ridiculed. Do you see how men make it difficult for you to receive your miracle? They come and tell you that, Kai, sorry, you, the last time this thing happened to sister this, this is how she died. They didn't know, they don't know, they are painting the picture of the path you should go for you. Don't hear too many things. I am not too knowledgeable to walk in doubt. Sometimes what you know is what puts you in doubt. You come online, you now see, how this person died of cancer. Cancer is the second highest killer last year. And it has been there for the past 10 years. And then you now see a small growth on your body. You say, could this be cancer? Could this be cancer? They come to your house. Every day they come, they bring bad news. This thing that is happening now, I heard that he killed this person. He killed this person. He killed this person. And just that morning, you receive the message that it happened to your relative. You now say, oh, so this person is dead. So the public wants to force an image on you. They want to force an identity. They want to force a position on you. But you must refuse it. That is what this story taught us. They called him what? Blind Bartimaeus. The son of Timaeus. Instead of them to call him Bartimaeus Timaeus, they now call him blind Bartimaeus. So they substituted Timaeus for blind. They gave him another surname. He said he sat by the highway side begging. Because of what society did, the only thing he could do now was to beg. Meanwhile, this man has energy for other things. You will see it in the next verse. He said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, you see a diligent seeker. He said, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Hear what the people told him in verse 49. You are not healed in the miracle service, not because the power of God is not available. You lost your healing by what you heard in the last 3 months.
before you come to God, you must, he said it's a must to believe that he is. The reason is because the news, the stories that you heard from your neighbors, from your friend in the last 4 months have robbed you of your healing. So if you want to receive your healing now, you must do away with those stories. They told you, this governor is so bad. Over 10 people I know who submitted contract, they didn't even call them. And then you carry that energy while you went to submit your document. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to come. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he called thee. In the verse before, the Bible said, they shut him down. Shut up! Who told you he's talking to blind people? Who told you he's not? Are you in his mind? But the man refused. The Bible said he shouted loud. This is what commands the attention of God. It's a desperate faith. A faith that refused to say no. You know, sometimes you are praying for somebody that is either crippled or has pain. And then you release the power of God, and the person is trying to exercise faith, and then everybody is looking. And then when you look at the people, you now know that guy, about this thing, know they walk. Meanwhile, if you were alone, you would have insisted. But because you were with the people are looking. They are fighting both the preacher and the man to be healed. And then after a while, some people just do like this. I beg God, gather to know the walk. If you go walk, you go walk. And then, in the same auditorium, your brothers and sisters deny you your blessing. The way to touch a spirit is to be deliberate. Son of David, have mercy. It doesn't matter. Others may be polite. Others may be elites. And they don't know how to shout. So while the prayer is going on, they are walking like this. They are the ones that know what is troubling them. What is troubling them may be something they can sleep with. But yours may be something you can't sleep with. So while they are being diplomatic and modest and elitist, what you do is what? Respond how the thing is doing you. Son of David, have mercy. He said, Jesus stopped and turned and said, come. He has touched him. You see why we don't receive from God? We carry a catalog of doctrines in our head. And then we are using the doctrine. And then you come, you say, you do this one, you do this one. When I completely do all, it will work. The blind Bartimaeus did not know Jesus was coming. He just heard. Is it, who Jesus is that? Jesus, the son of David. Immediately he began to shout. I may be fasting and I'm on 40 days fast. And I'm on the second day when I heard God was healing people. I will put that fasting by the corner and say, Father, when I'm healed, I can go back to the fast. But I will not complete the fast before I receive my healing. I may carry a seed. I'm going to the altar. When I heard God is healing people, I will turn and receive. After I receive, I will drop the seed. I will not tell myself, because brother A, brother B, brother C, drop seed, God healed him. And when I drop that seed, I will now come and say, oh boy, that brother was dropping seed like that for 10 years. And then I delay my blessing for 10 years. And when I read 10 years, I will now say again, that when that brother was giving that seed, he added fasting to it. And the list will continue and continue and continue, and you will delay your blessing for a lifetime. The moment he heard, that was the moment he received. What do you do when you hear? Some people, God is healing people, and then they sit down, they are waiting because they know the power of God. But the intensity is still low. When the intensity go high, that's when God will heal. So they are praying because they are spiritual men. They are praying and waiting for the intensity to grow. And then they will wait until God will finish and go. And God will leave them with intensity. I know many young people. Sometimes when I want to do impartation, I say, stop playing the sound. so that the proud spiritual men will remain where they are. Those that have the childlike faith will receive. While others are waiting for you to roar and for everywhere to be on fire, leave them. Sometimes shut the sound, key the intensity, and just talk. Those who have faith will receive. Those who didn't have faith, no matter how you raise the intensity, you only trouble their emotion. And it will bloat their ego. Yesterday night, was it Pastor Allen's daughter? 6 years old. The power of God hit her. She cried until they went home. The mama that was cooking for me, they came to the hotel with her 14-year-old daughter. The power of God was still on her. She couldn't stand. She was crying until they went home. But there are many young apostles that came into the hall yesterday. And they were weighing the spiritual energy. Checking the temperature of the spirit to see whether the intensity has gone high. When you see such foolishness, leave them. Children that did not even understand the message, but they know that God is. So every time God says be healed, they are already running. You make the word of God of none effect because of your tradition. Did you notice something? That in these two cases, Jesus didn't come for them. Did you notice that God did not notice they were there? Jesus was going to the house of the centurion when a woman with the issue of blood touched him. Jesus didn't come for her. Jesus didn't bother about her. There is something you will do that whether God came for you or not will no longer be a factor. You will receive it by force. It's called catalambano. The reason is because every time God has more than enough, it is who can take that receives. You come, you say, well, I don't know. When God wants to heal me, he will heal me. It will be in eternity when you go to heaven. It doesn't matter whether God wants to heal you or not, because God has already healed you. What matters is, can you receive now? Jesus didn't bother about the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't even know about her. Yet, in Acts chapter 10, there was another man at the beautiful gate that sat there throughout Jesus' ministry. Jesus used that door to the temple many times. He was there. And here is a woman that Jesus didn't even know came for the service. You can be in a service, Jesus didn't know you came. It doesn't matter. The question is, are you armed with faith? In Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, Jesus came down from the mountain. He was on the mountain for 3 days, teaching. Naturally, completely exhausted. And after the people left, in his usual habit, he will pray till the next morning. And then he was coming down from the mountain. And then the man that was paralyzed came to him, the leprous man, and said, Master, if you are willing, make me whole. And Jesus still said, I am willing. He left there, went to Peter's mother-in-law. She was taken with fever. He rebuked the fever. That same evening, Jesus went for a crusade and he said he healed them all. As if it was not enough, he left. And then they crossed over to the other side. He healed the Gadarene maniac. It was there he was coming from before he met the woman with the issue of blood. This Jesus knows the tire. Because every time a man responds by faith, God responds by a release of virtue. But what is the foundation? God is. My healing is now. My deliverance is now. My blessing is now. If a man can get there. Remember, all these people that Jesus healed, hope you know, none of them had any qualification. The only qualification they had was that they had a need. So what qualifies you to receive is the need that you have. None of them was an apostle. None of them was a prophet. None of them was a spiritual man. None of them was a leader in church. All they had was a need. The Bible didn't say one of them was on 40 days fast. The Bible didn't say one of them gave a tithe or gave a million. And that does not negate the place of giving. I just want you to stay with the context. Rather, he said they were begging. But it still didn't matter. Jesus healed them when they encountered him. If you want to see the ease with which God blesses, is to turn away from the rituals and the tradition and just focus and say, God is. You will be amazed. When you are healed, you will be shocked. You will tell yourself, is it this easy? That way you can never take the credit. The reason we want to do a lot of ritual, so that when we happen, we will take the glory. And God will insist it doesn't happen. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:29, it said that no flesh should glory in the presence. Whoever cometh to him, have you come to him beautiful? But do you believe that he is? Do you believe that your need will be met and will be met now? Can you look away from the friends, the connection that you spoke to and it didn't work? You know, these things are so spontaneous. If you have a need that you are almost giving up, and then somebody comes and tell you, oh boy, I know the governor. Instantly, something will spring on your inside. You know, help me now. Help me. That is what it means to say he is. You need a school fees and a rich man comes. Maybe your father's friend or your uncle. He says, how much is the money? He says, it's 10,000. I say, come on. Come and take it in the morning. You will start celebrating. Hey, thank God, I've gotten my school fees. But how come when God says it is done, you are still looking for something? Because you don't know that he is. The way to know that he is to persuade yourself. And when you have persuaded yourself, you come to that place of confident assurance that my own is now. I don't care whether God heals one person. That one person will be me. In Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6, the Bible said Jesus came to his own country. And when he entered the synagogue, he preached. And the people were like, how come this man has so much wisdom and authority? And they now said, is this not the carpenter's son? Carpenter's son. The carpenter's children raised the dead. But they were familiar. Is it not the carpenter's son? And the Bible said they were offended at him. And the greatest shock I've had in the scripture is in verse 5. And he said, there, Jesus could not do many miracles. He didn't say Jesus did not want to. He didn't say Jesus did not try. Jesus tried, he couldn't. Because the people did not believe that he is. He said Jesus healed only a few folks. Imagine what it means when Jesus is saying, be healed, and the people were not healed. And Jesus comes to them and says, rise up and walk, and they couldn't. You now say, wait, are you sure this is not another? Is this Jesus? Are you sure? He said, it's because of their unbelief. Instead of them seeing God coming to heal them now, they were seeing a carpenter. How can he be claiming that he's a miracle worker? How can he be claiming he has answers to our problem? Is this not the carpenter that grew in our face? And when you despise him, he has nothing to prove. Because he was God before you were created. And after you go, he's still God. How many people can believe that he is? the first way to receive from a spirit is by faith. And the first journey of faith is the journey of understanding. Understanding, not to know that God is Elohim, not to know that God is powerful, is to know that God is the present our help in the time of need. It's not the tomorrow's help. It's not the yesterday's help. It's the now help. I tell you the truth, as simple as this is, many people never reach here in their entire journey as Christians. The second way to receive from the Spirit is by generating virtue. I told you already that your healing is in your spirit. God is not healing anybody now. God has already healed everybody. If you believe in Christ, He said by His stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You were healed. And God doesn't mean what. He says what it is, the way it is. But one of the ways to bring that into your experience is to stir the virtue of God in your spirit. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost is the bringer of the experience of reality. He said in John 16:13, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. How be it when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. How does He do it? If it has to do with your body, the Bible said, the Spirit mortifies. Everything that is not of God that is in the body, the Spirit mortifies it. Romans 8:11. How does that happen? It's by stirring the Spirit within. Ephesians 4:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. How? According to the power that is at work within you. Have you noticed something? If you pick tongues, for example, you may wake up and you are very weak and tired, and your body is asleep, and then you begin to pray in the spirit. There is no energy, but you are just praying. After a while, you discover you become strong. After a while, you discover you begin to run in your room. After a while, you will be on the floor. You will not even know the direction you are facing. What happened? You migrated from your strength into the strength of God. The gate was tonguing. So when you begin to stir the Spirit within, what He does is that He eats up your weaknesses. If it has to do with a challenge, you will notice that as you pray, when you ascend, you begin to prophesy. And suddenly, that thing that looks so big like a mountain becomes tiny. That time when that thing becomes tiny, you can now command it. So the Holy Ghost has the answer to it. You were afraid because you heard this contract you applied for, the governor's younger brother also applied. And then you went to pray. And as you started praying, a point came. You saw both the governor and his brother as small. And then from that mountain, you now decree that the contract is yours. When the governor wakes up, he will forget that he has a brother. Because you have changed the sequence of things from the mountain of Zion. It is after they give you the contract and pay that the governor now realizes, what have I done? The heart of kings is in the hand of God. He has the power to turn it in whichever direction he wants. Most times, the reason we can't receive from spirit is because we are engaging spirits that are up there while we are on ground. Mount up with wings. When you mount up with wings, you come to the realm where those spirits exist, and instantly you begin to function after their order. The Bible said God came to this world and the earth was void. and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1 verse 2. God didn't rush. He said the Spirit of God was brooding upon the surface of the deep. That was God stirring himself. As God was brooding, after a while, everywhere was dark, but God saw light. And God said, let there be light. And Paul will tell us that God commanded light to shine forth from darkness. When you brood enough, you will begin to see the secret part that was invincible. The reason we don't touch spirit is that we walk from ground level. There is nothing on ground that is your advantage. All your advantage is on the mountain. But can you fly? Can you fly? A scripture that blesses me all the time is Isaiah 40 verse 28 to 31. He said, have you not heard that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? He said, he giveth power to the faint, and unto them that have no might, he increases strength. Why? He said, even the young men shall be weary and shall utterly fall. Do you know what the guy was trying to paint? The prophet was showing you something. The prophet was showing you that first, among mortals, the strongest among mortals are not old men, and they are not children, they are young men. The Bible said in 1 John 2:14, he said, I write unto you young men because you are strong. But he was doing a comparison. He said the strength of a young man compared to the strength of God is weakness. And the end product will be to faint. He said, but there is a technology. The technology of stirring. He said, if the young man deploys that technology, he said, something happens to him. He said they will suddenly mount up with wings like the eagles. Because as he's stirring himself, what he's doing is that he is migrating from the class of men into the class of gods. And he said, if he is able to migrate, if he's able to stir himself, he said something will happen. He said when he begins to run, his original state was to faint. But now, no matter how he runs, he can no longer faint. No matter how he walks, he cannot be weary. Why? He has become like a god. Because he started by telling you that God is never weary, neither does he faint. So the man actually migrates from a man into a god. And the journey of migration from a man to a god is the journey of stirring. If you stir yourself long enough, the cancer will vanish. If you stir yourself long enough, the money will come. If you stir yourself long enough, the promotion will come. Believers are not stirred. Have you watched a football match? For those of us that played football games those some years ago, when you start playing a football match, you may have a class A player, but there are some things you can't do with that player. In the first half of the match, when you get to second half and the match begins to approach 70 minutes, from the 70th minute there are some latent powers in those players that the game unleashes, because at that time the tempo of the game has become high. So the things the player cannot do at the first 10 minutes, he can do 3 times of that thing at the 90th minute. So there are some players that can score from their own half. At the beginning of the match, it will be hard. But when it reaches 80 minutes and they become desperate, and they become charged and intense, even themselves will do things they cannot believe. Because at that time, they have unlocked their full dimension. That's what happens when a man is tired. You will not notice you can prophesy until you are stirred. You will not notice your eyes can see in the spirit until you are stirred. And when you continue to stir yourself, a point comes where dimensions of God that are locked on your inside are activated. Anything you say at that time will happen. This is how spiritual men change the destiny of their children. There are some parents that are always insulting their children. Good for nothing. Big head. You will not be anything. If a wise man sees that his child is arrogant or his child cannot be tamed, he will leave that child. When the man is tired, he knows that time his voice is the voice of God. He will come to that child and say, from today, begin to think normal. A spiritual intelligence. I watched Benny Hinn. His son was a pop star. Hey, Dad, man, I don't care about that. Your thing you do on the altar. What the fuck is wrong with the nonny? Benny Hinn's son is saying, what the fuck? Benny Hinn didn't know what to do. And he now pleaded with the boy. Say, please, I have a meeting this evening. Can you attend? The boy said, well, all right, Dad. I'm like, I might come for the meeting. Eh? And then in the evening, the guy showed up with Jesse and trousers, sagged it, and put his first cap, turned it to the right, and bounced to the meeting. Benny Hinn didn't do as if he noticed him. He was preaching. When the anointing came on him, he became a lion. He now said, Joshua, come here. That time is not a time to beg Joshua, because the man talking is clothed with Christ. You know, the Bible said something. He said, put on the Lord Jesus. Joshua, come here. And the boy was coming and was shaking and was crying. And he said, Father, when this heart stopped breathing, put this anointing on this boy. Take it. Joshua was rolling on the floor. He said, carry him up. He kept loading him. He loaded Joshua. When Joshua left there, he became another man. He didn't need to waste his time going to meet psychologists. No. When a man is there, he can change things. And Joshua is burning for the Lord. The last time Joshua, Benny Hinn visited with Reverend Chris. Reverend Chris, you are killing me, came and said, look at me. And when Joshua looked at him, Joshua fell down and began to speak in tongues. He said, there's something about those eyes. It's not the eyes, he's dead. When a man is dead, if he shake you, you will fall. If he look at you, because he has clothed himself with Christ. That's how we receive. Something is troubling you. Don't trouble yourself. Do what you have to do. When you have time, go to your closet, lock the door. Don't bother yourself with heavy clothes. Wear your boxer and singlet and clear the ground and begin to journey. Just be journeying. Don't bother about the matter. A point will come where you will ascend the mountains of Zion. When you stand there, if you talk, it becomes the voice of an immortal. That is how we train things in the natural. That's why Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You may have a growth, you don't like it, don't worry. When you are stirred, touch it and say, I command you, dematerialize. Dematerialize. You are releasing energy. The growth will vanish. He has no choice. The reason we struggle is because we don't know how to receive from spirits. The third way to receive from a spirit is by practicing. That's why I said through faith and patience, they obtain the reward. There are certain things that happen instantly. There are certain things that require the law of consistency to move them. Whether it happens instantly or not, the thing is that it must happen. So we are not moved whether it happens. Jesus prayed for someone. He said, as he was going, he was made whole. He prayed for the centurion's son. He said, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy. And he left. When he was going home, they met him on the way and said, your child leave. He said, when did the child begin to amend? When did he start improving? But a spiritual man, he never wavers. He said, let your faith not waver. Because he that wavered should not expect that he will receive anything from God. So you may talk to it today. It look as if nothing happened. Don't be troubled. Mark 11:22. He saw the fig tree. There was no fig. He said, no man shall eat from you. It was green. He didn't say anything. He left. When they came back the next day, he said, he dried up from the root. Some of the things you are commanding, they dried up from their root. You have cut the root, but you want it to turn green. And because it didn't turn green, the root that you cut, through unbelief and wrong confession, you remove it and plant it in another place. You come, you speak today. Tomorrow you speak again. Because you are persuaded, it must happen. God told Abraham, he will be with child. It took 25 years. And he said from Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 22, concerning Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was a man without a child. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called things that be not as though they were. You see how God operates. The thing is not, but God is calling it as if it's already existing. Because that is how you bring it into existence. How do you create something that doesn't exist? If it was existing, it's not creation. The realm of creation is the faith that call things that are not as though they are. Because those things actually are not. That's why you are creating them. So when you call them, you bring them from nothing to something. And in verse 18, he said, who against hope believed in hope that God was able to bring to pass what he has said. He said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Sometimes we stagger. You came, you told God, and then you had a note of victory that you have received it. And when you were going home, you now told yourself, but this thing no go work. You have lost it. He said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He said, he did not consider. Listen, he did not consider his body now dead. That means Abraham was not oblivious of the fact that his body was dead. He knew his body was dead. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he knew that Sarah's womb was dead. But what did the Bible say? He did not consider it. What was he considering? What God said. So the growth will be there. But God said, you are healed. So instead of looking at the size of the growth, be looking at the word that God said, I am healed. I am healed. And then you are following the Holy Ghost. And today the Holy Ghost brings this song. And then you start singing, I have a very big God who is always by my side. A very big God who by my side, by my side. And people are saying, why are you celebrating? You say, I have received my victory. Did you not see Abraham? He said, Abraham was strong in faith, giving thanks. What are you thanking God for? Sir, you are 100 years old. What are you thanking God for? You can't see it, but the one that received the word can see. When you do that, the spirit will run from his throne and say, what do you want? You know what you have done? You have challenged the integrity of that spirit. When you dare to believe God, even when there is nothing to show, you have challenged the faithfulness of God. God will respond in a hurry. But you have to practice it. He said in Hebrews 5:12, he said, whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Who is a babe? Every time he comes, he lifts his hand to receive something. He doesn't practice anything. He says, strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. These ones have grown up. He said, who by reason of use have exercise their senses to discern between good and evil. If you don't practice, you can't become. Healing is beautiful, but it's better to walk in divine health. You can receive healing by administration, but you walk in divine health by practicing. The guy who walks in divine health is more blessed than the guy who receives healing. The guy who walks in divine health is walking in the realm of practice. So he doesn't need a healing evangelist to be healthy. If he notices anything, he commands it to go. A point comes where it becomes difficult for him to believe he will be sick. He has practiced it until he has developed the mind of Christ. It's a testimony when somebody gives you a seed, or you are not expecting money, and then somebody gives you money. But it's a blessing when you don't need somebody to give you something. You have more than enough. It is practice that takes you to the realm of more than enough. He was giving them manna for 40 days. That was good. But there was a land flowing with milk and honey. So God is not so impressed when we come and we are being ministered to. God wants us to become an effulgence of the glory of God. That's why he said he called you to showcase, 1 Peter 2:9, to showcase the excellencies of God. So when we see you, we should be seeing different dimensions of God. But you will enter if you begin to practice it. How many people are willing to practice? The first time you said it, it may not work, but it doesn't matter. It takes a doctor 6 to 7 years of training before he goes for housemanship, and does another 1 year before he becomes a doctor. 8 years of practice before he can diagnose Panadol for headache. If he does it before that 8 years, it's illegal. He can be arrested. They say Panadol, that your mother said take Panadol, you are healed out of experience. It takes a doctor 8 years of training to do it. But a spiritual man comes and he says it 3 times and it doesn't work. You say, I beg, this thing no dey work. But you have been with doctors for 20 years and you still believe. The one you have been trying it for 30 years and you believe. How come when it comes to God, you did it only twice and you say it no dey work? That's why we can't receive. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. If it's not working, it's better it doesn't work with God. The Bible spoke of some. He said, they died in faith. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. He was seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. He was seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. He was seated on the throne.
If you were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you. If you were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.